Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Hundreds of supporters are outside a London court this morning as a member of the rap trio Kneecap arrives there to face a terrorism charge. People are there with placards and flags and a show of support for Liam O'Gohany, or Mohara. He's accused of displaying a flag in support of Hezbollah at a gig in November last year. He's arrived at court with his other two Kneecap colleagues, and Tommy Mescal, our colleague from the RTE newsroom, is there for us this morning, and we hope to speak to him as that court appearance is underway. Now, though, should we consider building smaller apartments and relaxing standards in an effort to encourage developers to build more? Well, a report in Saturday's Irish Times suggested that such measures are being considered at the highest level of government, with an announcement due very shortly. Well, to discuss whether this is a good idea or not, I'm joined by Frank MacDonald, journalist and author, and Seamus McGrath, TD, who's also Fianna Fáil's housing spokesperson. And you're both welcome to the programme. Frank, you read that report in the Irish Times about these changes, smaller apartments, more relaxed standards. What did you think of it?
Well, I mean, I must say my heart sank when I read the report in the Irish Times last Saturday, because it was clear to me that Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, has been talking to all the wrong people and is essentially adopting the property industry's dystopian playbook in relation to what should happen. And we've been down this road before in dumbing down apartment design standards to make their construction, quote unquote, more viable for developers and investor funds. And Labour's Alan Kelly, you know, I don't support any political party, so I'm quite prepared to name whoever was responsible for wherever they were from. Labour's Alan Kelly was the first to do it in 2015, and Fine Gael's own Murphy did it even more comprehensively in 2018.
Okay, so you're referring to the both times the size, the minimum apartment size,
yes,
were reduced,
yes,
by those administrations.
Not just the minimum apartment sizes, but also the mix of apartments in any scheme, you know, which is a pretty crucial element as well, where you'd have a good mix of, say, 1, 2 and 3 bedroom units rather than just, you know, overwhelmingly single bedroom units, which is what really has happened since then. And we're talking about people's homes here. And what reduced standards are going to do, or do really, is to produce poor quality homes. Smaller units of, say, you know, 40 square metres with low ceilings and no dual aspect. And just in case people don't understand that, that's windows facing in two directions, which basically means there's going to be no cross ventilation. Mm-hmm. You're going to have clip-on balconies, which are barely usable for more than a few pot plants, minimal internal storage and fewer lifts in multi-storey buildings, which basically means long, artificially lit corridors like you'd find in a budget hotel.
Right, but Frank, the problem is now we've lovely apartments, but nobody can afford to buy them.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, you know, I suppose, you know, what we need to do in inner city areas in particular is to make apartments attractive and to also make them as large enough for families to live in, rather than just singletons, as they're now called, who are going to be there for a short time, you know, because that's the only way that you can create sustainable residential neighbourhoods.
All right, well, let's bring in Seamus on this. Seamus, good morning to you and thanks for being with us. Does the government think that we need to go smaller with the apartments?
Good morning, Claire, and thanks for having me on. I suppose, Claire, the overall objective of the government is to increase housing supply, and we have a very significant problem when it comes to apartments. Our planning permissions for apartments in 2024, for example, fell by 39%. That is a very significant drop. We had the housing agency in before the housing committee yesterday. They debated at length in terms of the difficulty around apartment building, the viability problem that is there. And even with schemes such as Croí Cónaithe City schemes, where the state is subsidising the build of apartments to the tune of 140,000+, we still are not seeing activity in relation to apartment building. So the government has to look at all aspects of this. And I just just want to be clear in terms of language around relaxing standards and so on. There will absolutely be no dilution in standards when it comes to issues around fire, safety, disability access, environmental issues, energy rating and
no,
so on.
No, we're not talking about building standards, but it's the apartment standards that will change if this goes ahead. And do you hear what Frank is saying? That what you're looking at is a more miserable existence in a small place that doesn't have the ventilation, the ceiling height, the dual aspect.
Yes,
it just
yes.
won't be as pleasant as you would expect from your from a place that you want to live in.
No, I totally understand the points Frank made, and I understand the caution here. And of course, there should be no wholesale change here either. I mean, this is about looking at the planning and design guidelines that are currently in place, and they are very complex. They are overly prescriptive in many respects. When you look at things like the composition of a development in terms of the number of 1, 2, 3 bedroom apartments, when you look at things like the corridor length and how many doors can be off it. And yes, Frank mentioned dual aspect in windows, balconies, for example. Should every apartment have a balcony? Look, there is a significant viability issue with the building of apartments, and the government has a responsibility to look at this to see how we can narrow that viability gap so that we can get construction going. Because if we don't have development of scale, of density, we're not going to go anywhere near achieving our housing targets.
Yeah, and see, I suppose the issue, Frank says that that Micheál Martin has been listening to the wrong people, because what you're describing there is what developers want, isn't it?
Well, it is about having an appropriate mix, and it is about providing choice and options. I mean, if I'm 30 something years of age and I'm living in a box room at home, you know, am I prepared to go into a slightly smaller apartment? These are the kind of decisions and discussions that we need to have. And this isn't about having, in my opinion, a development of apartments of all small one beds. That shouldn't be allowed to happen, of course. But what is wrong with having 10% of apartments in a development of a smaller size, for example? These are the kind of decisions that we have to make to try and activate apartment building and narrow the viability gap.
Okay, well, Frank, that sounds reasonable. You know, if you've somebody in a box room, they've no way of getting out of the box room, and they go to one of these apartments, and if you have a development, it's only 10% of that development that will have these smaller places on offer.
Well, I think that we have to remember one crucial thing, which is the housing crisis we have in Ireland is essentially a crisis of affordability, whether it's to buy or to rent. And I'll give you an example. I came across a huge scheme in Dublin 8, which has 413 apartments, of which 203 are studios, 136 are one-bedroom units, 72 are two beds, and there are only only two three-bedroom family-sized apartments in the entire scheme. And the rents are huge, starting at 2,300 for studios, 2,500 a month for one-bedroom units, and 3,400 for two-bedroom apartments. And that's what the property industry lobby wants. They are interested in only in the build-to-rent model, which is essentially about making a huge return for investor funds. So they're the only people who will actually benefit from a further reduction in standards, because that model, the build-to-rent model, is enormously profitable for investor funds, but it does nothing for the creation of what I've described as sustainable residential communities in urban areas, which is what we need.
So if we we're told, though, Frank, sorry to interrupt you, but we are told that we need international investors, that they're a crucial piece of the housing puzzle. Do you accept that?
But they're only interested in building high-priced housing for rent. That's all. Now, is that what we want in a situation where the crisis is essentially one of affordability? Is that what we want? That you know, to favour international investor funds who are coming in here to make loads of money. But
Seamus, go on to answer that for us.
I suppose this debate sometimes goes into the extremes, and this isn't all about international investors. I mean, Irish developers, Irish construction companies will tell you clearly that apartment building is not viable for them, and they are interested in building apartments to buy as well, for example. So we have to look at this in the round. Of course, in terms of getting our housing numbers up, we have to look at a blend of equity sources, whether it's Irish investment, international investment. The state is pumping almost 7 billion into of public money into the trying to activate housing. That's a very significant amount. We have to add billions to that from private sources. So we have to look at how we can do that. But I suppose when Frank mentions, you know, and I saw the debate last night as well on TV in relation to, you know, it's all about international investors. They're only interested in the high rents, build to rent and so on. That isn't the case. Of course, there is going to be some space for that type of development. And there are professionals working in Dublin who want to rent apartments in the city centre and are prepared to pay high price for it.
But Seamus, you'd agree that at the moment, most apartment developments that are being built in urban areas, they are built to rent only, aren't they?
Some of them are, and I suppose the other amount of activity that is taking place is state-provided construction, state-subsidised construction, and the state effectively is subsidising over 50% of construction in 2024. Mm-hmm. Like, that isn't a sustainable model going forward.
To get to the bottom of what this plan is about, do you feel that reducing the apartment standards, and not the building standards, the apartment standards and the size and so on, that will lead more developers to a point where they're willing to build to sell?
If we can unravel some of the complex design and planning guidelines that are in place, if we can simplify it in a way that doesn't dramatically, you know, diminish the quality of those apartments in terms of the living experience.
But are they going to build them to sell them if they can make them smaller and less fancy?
I believe some will, and some will build to rent. I think this is about a blend, and this is about having a mix of opportunities.
You know, most people don't want to rent. I mean, we've seen that borne out in figures. 87% of those between 25 and 49 who are renting don't actually want to rent. So why are we pursuing this rental model when people want to own their own homes?
There are different demands out there, Claire. There are people who want to rent. You know, there are people who, you know, have a short-term accommodation need and they want to secure rental accommodation to meet that need. Of course, we all know Irish people like to buy a property, but ultimately we have to increase supply across the board in terms of properties for purchase, properties for rent. And this is about not one size fits all. This is about creating a model where
To me that if you reduce the size of the apartment and how pleasant it is, that you're building homes that people will want to buy. You're not ticking that box. The box you're ticking is the rental box.
Yes.
But again, I go back to the point that there are different demands out there. People want different things. You know, of course, I agree with Frank. We should have a scenario where we are encouraging families to live in urban areas. Of course we should, in terms of building communities and placemaking and so on. That's very important. But not all of a development needs to be geared towards that. I mean, what is wrong with having 10, 15% of units in an apartment block that are geared for a single person who wants to rent on a short-term basis, for example? We have to look at a blend and an appropriate composition.
Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, but There are extant planning permissions for 70,000 housing units nationally. About 40,000 of them are in the Dublin area. And they were granted under the discredited strategic housing development process involving on board Panola. And most of them were designed to meet previously dumbed down standards that simply haven't been built. So, you know, like, what to do about housing in Ireland? I think, I mean, I'm speaking to you as somebody who has lived in an apartment for the last 30 years. In the first case, for 27 years, in a converted 1840s warehouse in Temple Bar, where we had the top two floors of the building, and it was a really beautiful place to live. And now I'm out in deepest, leafiest Black Rock, living in a newly built apartment out here. So I know what I'm talking about. And, you know, what I think we really need to do is to introduce a scheme of incentives that would lead to the creation of apartments on the upper floors of buildings in cities and towns throughout the country. And I think that when you look at the level of dereliction and vacancy everywhere you go, literally everywhere in Ireland, there are vacant buildings. And, you know, like, why don't we start dealing with those problems? This is a win-win situation. On the one hand, you provide housing. And in the second place, you manage to secure the future of buildings which otherwise might fall down.
Seamus, quick response on that.
Quickly on that, and I totally agree with Frank on those points. Absolutely. And to be fair to the government, under the Croí Cónaithe scheme, almost 8,000 properties which were previously vacant for 2 years or more have been brought back into use. So that is very significant traction on that particular scheme. And he's correct in terms of over the shop, over the office, the upper floors. We do need to encourage use, and you know, the underutilization of buildings is a very significant issue. And from an environmental point of view, using those buildings that are already built is the best way forward. Okay. So under the programme for government, there is a proposal to bring in incentives in terms of encouraging living over the shop, living over the office, and using those upper floors and buildings that are already in place in urban areas and cities. So that is something the government will do. Look, this is about using all levers at our disposal to try and increase the number of housing output every year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you both, Seamus McGrath, Fianna Fáil spokesperson on housing, and Frank MacDonald, who's a journalist and author. Still to come in the next hour of the programme, 200 abuse complaints in 3.5 years. So why was one of the nursing homes at the centre of the RT Investigates programme not forced to comply with care standards? Well, HICWA is answering questions on that right now as we speak at the Oireachtas Committee, which is being held at the moment. We'll bring you the latest from there. A jury in Boston begins a third day of deliberations in the trial of a Dublin firefighter accused of rape. We'll go live to Boston later too. And his Reform Party is already disrupting elections and opinion polls in the UK. But could Nigel Farage really make it all the way to number 10 Downing Street, where we'll get the expert view? That's all on the way.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.